Support for this program is provided by Chevron.
Wildfires devastating the West Coast and other parts of the country, from California to New Mexico and Alaska and Minnesota.
The wildfire season this year in the western part of the country has already been incredibly intense. It seems like every year we're saying that.
It is definitely a bleak scene, a moonscape of destruction here in Northern California. You know, and this isn't even the biggest fire, right?
This year, it's really bad at the point where the West is already 90% in a drought, which makes conditions way worse.
You know, record-breaking dry fuel at a time when there is tremendous drought here, record temperatures, and now these big winds.
And you have states like Idaho, Montana, Washington and Oregon already undergoing wildfires way earlier than they usually do.
That is unreal.
Which limits resources. Normally, you know, Forest Service or even other states will lend their personnel across state lines to help other states battle fires. And those resources have been stretched pretty thin.
I'm Anthony Adragna. This is Politico Energy. And today, Politico's Jimena Bustillo on the staffing crisis crippling the federal response to Western wildfires. It's Monday, July 26th.
Yes, the Forest Service wildland firefighters are able to kind of go wherever it is that they are needed.
Every year, brave and dedicated men and women put themselves in danger to keep us safe, saving lives, property, and resources. In that order, that's the mission for wildland firefighters.
They are already the first front line of defense for the nation's national forest, so any federal land, but they aren't tied down to any specific jurisdiction. So if California needs more firefighters, they are able to go. Or if Arizona needs firefighters, or if Idaho needs firefighters, they are able to kind of be a supplement.
Our primary focus on our crew is to serve as an initial attack resource.
One of the biggest issues that they are facing is personnel shortages and retention issues, largely stemming from the fact that they get paid very little.
I've been in the Forest Service since I was 19, and I think it sort of shaped me and molded me into the man that I am now because of the individuals around me. Just coming from poverty and just wanting to get out of this situation and better myself.
They have a very, very difficult, intense job with a very difficult work-life balance.
I love being a smoke jumper. You're independent, you have challenges. We're a smaller group, so we generally we'll jump into a fire, either 2, 4, 6, or 8 of us.
And that can be a bigger strain when you're paid only $13 an hour or even $15 an hour, which is what Biden is proposing. And so if you have already a very small workforce, I think there's only about 10,000 of them. And then on top of that, you have crews that are short, you have a retention problem, then that does limit personnel resources and physically stretches them thin across the West.
And it seems like climate change has just lengthened the length of these seasons and exacerbated a lot of these problems. You write that these firefighters have been working pretty much continuously since January 2020. Tell us a bit more about that.
Yeah, a lot of scientists kind of believe that while you can't always attribute, you know, one factor to a lot of different weather events, there are just kind of a lot of conditions in the West that are making wildfire seasons worse. You have intense drought conditions. You have extremely hot temperatures. We've seen the heat dome. The Rocky Mountains are about to undergo a second heat wave, is what some people are kind of projecting. And that just makes conditions so ripe for lightning to strike and there to be wildfires, even if they're not always human caused.
You mentioned the Biden administration giving these firefighters a pay raise. What else are they trying to do to address these retention problems?
So the Biden administration is preparing a small bump in pay from $13.45 an hour base pay for starting firefighters. They are also looking to address these retention problems by having bonuses for more experienced workers, spot payments for temporary workers, and like beginning to address some other longstanding issues with compensation, expanding benefits, and work-life balance issues. So there has been, you know, an appearance of quicker action than we've ever really seen before on this issue.
You still kind of have to wonder if $15 an hour is going to be enough to, you know, sustain oneself or a family in high, you know, high cost of living areas like California, but certainly a step in the right direction.
Yeah, I guess I would add that this problem is not new. So issues of Forest Service firefighter pay, I think, are being discussed a lot more because fire seasons are going longer. Fire seasons are not just June and November. It's just a constant year-round state of emergency. But these folks have never been paid sufficiently. And there have been groups and lawmakers that have always been sounding the alarm about this. And now you're just at the point where the pressure of intense wildfire seasons is really, really becoming noticeable on the strain of the workforce.
Also, late last week, the world's largest coal-consuming country managed to stall an effort from the largest economies to condemn coal power. Over the past week, climate, environment, and energy ministers representing the world's 20 largest economies gathered to break a deal on emissions targets. But the final G20 agreement released Friday made no mention of coal, oil, or gas, or the need for the world to transition off of fossil fuels. And that is partly because China, along with the other large fossil fuel producing and consuming countries like Russia and India, rejected a proposal from European and North American countries to recognize the incompatibility of coal power with the goal of keeping global temperatures from rising over 1.5 degrees Celsius. Following the summit, the Biden administration ramped up the pressure on China's lack of cooperation to lower emissions, saying without the Asian country, most of the world's climate goals are essentially impossible. Now, the failures of the G20 summit to reach an ambitious agreement on climate ramps up the focus on the COP26 meeting later this year, when the U.S. and Europe will have another opportunity for a deal with China on a global climate framework. No fucking pressure, John Kerry. For more news on energy and the environment, subscribe to our newsletter at politico.com/morningenergy. And for your dose of politics and the ins and outs of Washington, join Raghu Manavalan every morning at the Politico Playbook Daily Briefing. In 5 minutes, Raghu will get you up to speed with what's really going on in the nation's capital. I'm Anthony Dragna, and I'll talk to you again tomorrow.
Support for this program is provided by Chevron. Did you know that Chevron supports the ambitions of the Paris Agreement? In fact, they've even tied their executives' compensation to lowering the carbon emissions intensity of their operations. Because it's only human to help power a brighter future.